Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Gonna get right into the Word, part four of how the serpent got into the house of Israel. We're gonna get our Bibles. We hope you'll join us tonight. Call a friend and tell them Pastor Buddy is live, and we are here on a Friday evening on September the 3rd, and we're enjoying our little Bible study. This is, like I say, part four. We're going to conclude tonight, if we can. We're going to have to wrap it up very fast because an hour don't give the last part of this message that we got to give you justice, because we could probably combine the whole 4 hours into this one last hour type message. So we're trying to condense it the best that we can. We have these messages already on tape, and if you'd like copies, all you have to do is contact us here at the Shepherd's Call. We'll give you the address just a little bit later. Let's pick up in a review. Let's go back. We started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The most powerful verse of Revelation Scripture in the Bible. It really sets the tone for freeing your mind, or in a sense, it could forever lock your mind outside the realm of Revelation. You know, the Bible said many wrestle with the scriptures of Paul, and this is true because of all the mystery that's written in the Bible, to their own death and destruction. And we hope that that's not true in your case, that you are a Bible student, you've studied, you've been approved, you've fasted, you've done your homework, and if you're an old rat in the mill, as I call ourselves, you know, if your hair is white as mine, you've earned every one of them by trying to press into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Bible says for us to press into the kingdom of heaven. And it is a pressing way. So, if you have revelation of the scriptures, you have perhaps passed or crossed the threshold of where the carnal and the spirit mind, the infinite mind of our Creator, our loving Savior. Now, if you know Him and your name's on the Lamb's Book, He does have a family in the earth, and this family is in one name. Here, that one name is the name that's above every name, and this name has the power, also has the influence, and it also has the processing to develop your soul into a meat eater. The Bible said those that are on milk are unskillful in the word. And so then you have to be an advanced student. In other words, you have to desire the sincere desire of the milk. You gotta crawl before you can walk, and walk before you can run, and run before you can literally fly. And you must come to the launching stage of your soul, going into the deep things. In other words, you gotta take a deep dive into the, well, it's like, in a sense, it's the first time you ever jump in a parachute. If you've ever jumped out of a plane, you get this frightening sensation, and you have a tendency to draw back. Well, the Bible said that his soul, that is the soul of the Almighty Creator, we're all, as a family, we're linked together. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going back to Genesis 3:15, but these two, believe it or not, these two connect together. There are really two different families in the earth. And these families are negative and positive, light and darkness. I don't know why, other than it is for the purpose of refining the soul, refurbishing the soul, or reinventing the soul, maybe. Just like, if you come up with a better way to travel than you do in an automobile, you reinvent the wheel, and the wheel has been reinvented since the time of man first cut a tree down and saw a wheel out of a tree and drill a hole through it and put a shaft in it and grease it with an animal skin to keep it greased and from burning friction. And so the wheel was invented, but it's been improved or reinvented many times. You have to reinvent yourself in the earth. You must be willing to change. You must be willing to conform, because you see, truth is a process. Now, I wish, oh, how I wish, I wouldn't have all these gray hairs in my head. If truth had come, just all at once, if truth had been dumped in my lap when I first asked for truth, when I first started fasting for truth, praying for truth, seeking and asking, and it was dumped in my lap all at once, then, that would have made it quite simple, in a sense, because any way you deal with truth, it's hard. But you see, truth comes in stages. It drips painfully slow into your soul. But you see your soul evolving. And the Bible says, when you was a child, you spoke as a child. But when you become a man or a woman, fully grown, mature, you put away childish things. Hopefully, you have. And if you have, and you're able to eat the meat, you're going to love tonight's message. Tonight's message will take us into the birthright covenant. And the birthright covenant is specifically to a family. I'm going to read you this verse here that says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Messiah Savior, Yahushua, that you might have a right to the tree of life." Now, the tree of life was in the fifth dimensional experience planes. It's a plane of a dimension that is within this dimensional third dimension. You see, it's strange how an egg is manifested in three different dimensions, and yet it's the same egg. And it's the best way that I know how to describe what we describe as a Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, the egg, the shell that encases the liquid content of the egg, it itself has two separate parts of its being. If you boil an egg and harden it, then you can see, and then you cut the egg in center, you can see the three-dimensional aspect of the egg. Well, basically, that's what the woman offered to the seed in Genesis 3:15. You have the shell, that is the encasement. You have the body, the flesh man. And then you have what is called the essence or the soul. And then you have the spirit, which only God, Yahweh in this case, can give. Now that's three dimensional aspects of one being. But above that, in a world you cannot see, exist the dimensional soul as it sheds its lower bodies. In other words, at death, you shed your physical body. That's once appointed unto that man to die. You see, that man is not permitted to return back to where the tree of life is that he may partake. Because if the carnal mind could partake of the spiritual tree of life, remember, Moses was told in his physical state of third dimension that it was not possible for him to see the face of Almighty Yah and live. And therefore, Yahweh, he did him a favor by only showing him his counterparts. And lo and behold, after Moses was shown the hinder parts, he had to wear a veil to cover the glory of the transformation of the enlightenment. He shone in such a radiance, and radiance is nothing more than a higher vibration. He was vibrating at such a level of understanding about the Creator because he got to see him in living person and live to tell about it. But he only got to see his hinder parts. Think about what had happened if he saw his face. He'd had a hallelujah nuclear meltdown. Because no man can in the physical body now. Keep this in mind. No man in the physical body can see the exact glory of a Creator when he's manifest in his four dimensional glory. It's impossible. Could you look at a thousand suns with the strength of the one sun that we have here? You know, at noonday, could you look up into the sun without blinking? It's impossible. And so it would be impossible to look upon the glory in its manifested formal aspect, in other words, to come into his presence. Now, how can you come into his presence? The flesh and blood cannot operate in the vibratory zone of the living spirit. You must be separated from the flesh man. He has to become he's a necessary vehicle. You can visit. Paul said, I know a man above 14 years, whether in the body or out, I don't know, but I know that such a man that was caught into the third heaven, and there he heard things that was not lawful for him to utter when he returned back to the physical plane or the third dimension, and he came, remember now, he went to the third heaven. So in actuality, he's in the third dimension, and he raised three levels. That's the sixth dimensional level, wherein there is appropriate dimensional levels above him. He was in the sixth level, and that's a pretty high ascending level to go to, because the Bible says it's in 1 Timothy 6:15. It's recorded. That is impossible. It's impossible for a man to appear in the presence of the light that our Almighty Creator dwells in. It's impossible for anyone, whether it be angelic being or dimensional aspect, third dimension especially, it'd be impossible for a man to live in the presence of Yah. It's incredible. And yet, Yah himself, knowing your limitation, knowing that it's impossible for you to come to him through the dimensional aspects of raising into the spirit realm, he himself descended unto you, to your level. And so the third dimension is the highest level of the physical man that can have an experience, a radiant experience, a satisfying and justifying experience, an experience of remembering put this in mind, call it to remembrance, it said, that from a child you knew the Holy Scriptures. And so the Bible says, the sheep hear his voice and have been with him from the very beginning because they are part of the family of Yah. They're ever loving, connected to the ever purposeful, dimensional expression of the Spirit. The Spirit is a dimensional thought process of real existence. It's not a figment of our imagination. So the kingdom, according to Luke 17:20, is within you. Isn't it strange? We look for externals. We're caught up in externals. Right now, most of the world is caught up in the Republican here in America. Most of them are caught up in the thrills of political debates and taking sides. You know, we're so weak that when given a choice, we all take choices because most minds think as they have been taught to think. So we're like a phonograph record. We are groomed to think in certain aspects, and that limits us because the carnal mind is not subject to Yah. We are bound in the third dimension, and we cannot escape the realm of the burden of the flesh man. And so Yah himself had to descend first into this lower dimension. It's a living hell. It's a nightmare on whatever street. Paul went to Straight Street, but after he encountered Yah on Elm Street, as you might say. He only got on Straight Street after he got knocked down, and the light that he saw in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts was so blinding that it produced radiation burns, let's say, the radiation of the presence of Yah. He saw Yah. The Bible says that he was visited by Yah himself. And when he told him his name in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, the 14th verse, he expressively told him his name in Hebrew. There was no Greek use here or no English. He could not have said, I am Jesus, as it is expressed in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. Ladies and gentlemen, right there shows you the error of the lying translators. Now, what else did they lie about? Well, they lied about the birthright. They lied about the divine covenant name. They lied about everything from the word Gitna, because that's what they do for a living. Satan and his angels are liars, and they're paid to lie. Did you know that if you get a strong delusion and you believe a lie, that it is because Yah was the originator of that purpose? That Yah himself will send you a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned? Well, you say, well, that ain't fair. Well, it's not. To the flesh man, because the flesh man is ever learning but never able to come to the truth. And you must become spiritual. That's why that you must press toward the mark and I call it. That's why you gotta fast and pray and seek the narrow way. That's why that you gotta press your way into the kingdom. And when I say press your way in, I literally mean to press yourself out of your flesh body into the spiritual realm where few people have dared to tread, even angels. And you must be daring and bold and go where man fears to go. It's a fearful thing, as I said, to fall into the hands of a living, mighty one. But you must take the chance, put on your parachute of hope and faith, and launch out into the deep. If you can swim, swim anyway. If you can fly, fly anyway. If you're afraid to dive, dive anyway. Take the leap of faith, into the loving, waiting arms of someone who said to Peter, wherefore did you doubt that he could walk on water? He was doing pretty good till he looked down. And with the unsure, shaky, moving foundation, how would you like to be out on the choppy seas of the east coast of Florida right tonight and be asked to walk on the water. Well, it's almost an impossible feat, you'd say. Yes, but it can be done. If you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. I know a man that was lost at sea, and a porpoise, of all things, a porpoise, came after the man had struggled to stay afloat and was in and out of consciousness, and he came to himself. He was moving at what he thought to be a high rate of speed. And when he realized that he was not dead, he looked between his legs, and there was a porpoise that had caught him between the legs and was swimming toward the shore. It saved his life. A porpoise. It received the panic call from this man's spirit, and this man wasn't ready to go. You see, you're not going to die till your time comes. There's once the point of death, and your days are numbered. So then, live dangerously. Live daringly. Live courageously. Live above the mundane, everyday, ho-ho-ho life in the realm of the flesh. You're always going to have mommy and daddy. You're always going to be mommy and daddy and children and things of this nature. The flesh man is ever learned but never able to come to the revelation of the truth that it's the inward kingdom. Remember I said the kingdom is within you. So the universe, everything that is you think heaven is not out there. You're looking at the wrong place. That's an illusion. It's a holographic illusion. The kingdom is within you. It must be sought from within. Radiation and light and exposure to such comes from the mediation of the soul struggling within itself to find itself. Man, I mean, I have sat for countless hours and days and weeks trying to find myself. You say, well, that's about the way you preach. You still must be hunting. Well, you know, it's a paradox. When, you know, if you can go to school and graduate and become a sayer of great things and people admire you in the physical realm, because of your knowledge and things of this nature. But you see, Yahweh, he done something that is very degrading and humiliating to those that seek him. He chose the foolish things. And so, the more foolisher you become in Yahweh, the wiser you become in Yahweh. Now, let me rephrase that to bring it down to the earth level as people see you. When you come to Yahweh, you appear to be foolish in the eyes of the people because the carnal mind can't understand what you're doing or what you're saying or what you're thinking or what you're proposing. But when you deny the foolish things and seek for the world's wisdom, try to claim yourself to be a great orator like Herod was. He was a great speaker. But he failed in one thing. He failed to give glory to Yah. And Yah destroyed him with a belly full of worms. I mean, he ate a green apple or something, and worms manifested in body and ate him alive. He literally had worms, maggots, or whatever, crawling out of his literal intestines because he failed to give glory to the Creator. See, we're made in the image of Yah. And we're made to glorify him. We're made to honor him. And the more foolish we become to the world, the more honor we bestow upon Yah. And the more wiser we become in the world, the less foolish, or the more foolish we become in the sight of Yah. So it's a paradox of opposites. What Yahweh has chosen is degrading and humiliating. Oh yeah, you're going to make enemies. You're going to have a few friends. Well, I didn't know I was going to get into this lecture, but anyway, we're talking about the birthright. I'm talking about the children of Yah who belong to Yah, who are expressly made for him. Listen to you. Here it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're named in sonship. We're all declared to be sons of Yah, the enlightened ones. We have a name in our forehead, as it is noted in Revelations 14:1. The 144,000 Remember, I told you that these were taken out of the first resurrection, that Yahweh himself, who came to get his bride, got him one in the first resurrection, and they took the Father's name in their forehead. There they stand with the bridegroom with the Father's name in their forehead. In other words, a perfect type of the bride will wear the name of the husband. Well, now, you said we weren't the bride. We're not. We're the children of the bride. You see, the children of the second resurrection, or the second coming, or the second tug, or the second anointing, remember it says, after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he'll raise us up. We're in the age of the ending of the second day from his first resurrection, where he got him a bride out there and appeared in the holy city, and with 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth because they were beheaded by Herod. These are the first ones to shed their blood for the Messiah in his name. And so they took the distinctive honor of becoming his bride in the first resurrection, called them out of the graves, raised them up and took them with him to heaven. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations and the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations, we find them present with the Lamb. And they follow him, worshiped as a perfect type of the bride. They came out of their graves after his resurrection to become the first fruits of them that slept. And he's returning for those who are children of the union of the Spirit, because on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel of truth and revelation was preached, remember they got hated for preaching it, they got whipped for preaching it, they got killed for preaching it. And you expect a better treatment in this wicked world? Do you know that the world is more wicked than it was then, and they got whipped and beat for bringing forth a great, magnanimous, magnificent, almighty, powerful, loving, kind, generous, praiseworthy name above every name that every knee should bow to? But there's hard heads, there's stiff necks, there's uncircumcised that will not bow to the name of Yah until the day appointed, when it'll be too late. When he gives them this final judgment call, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, when they say, or begin to say, Lord. You know, they thought they were outstanding citizens of heaven. Oh, they smote their breasts like they do now. And they tell big, worldly Saul tales about how they know their mother's saved and their daddy's saved, and they go over to the graveyard every Easter and face the sun on resurrection morning and typify Easter, the worship center of a goddess, and then they worship the name that is false. And when you tell them the true name, they throw rocks at you. Well, that's what I call being humiliated for preaching the truth. But I love it. I'd rather be whipped for Yahweh than be loved in a false name. I'll repeat that. I'd rather be hated and despised and whipped every day for the name of Yahweh. And I'm not itching for any persecution and I'm not glutton for any punishment. I've had enough. But I'd still take more if I had to. And I pray that the grace of Yah is sufficient that will not lead me into temptation where I will be. But if I am, so be it. I'm not only, as Paul said, willing to suffer for the name of Yah, I'm ready to die for it. Are you? Have you made up your mind to put on the whole armor? You know, it's one thing to dress up in a mirror and present yourself a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12:1. That is the whole duty, to fear Yah and keep his commandments. But his commandments are not carnal. They are spiritually motivated, spiritually activated, and spiritually manipulated. You've got to be in the spirit to get into the laws, these hidden laws. Now, there is a surface level law that appears to be good. Of course, I don't want nobody breaking in my home. So I hope everybody in the world would submit to the surface law of thou shalt not steal. But I'd rather lose everything I've got and materials in breaking the surface law than to lose my soul by letting Satan, the master himself come in and trick me and deny me of my eternal heritage in the Father because he stole my birthright. And that's what Satan has done here in the book. In the surface level of the book, you can see the manifestation of Satan, how he stole the birthright privileges of a people who are now not a people, but who are still the people, to a people who are not his people, but who are accepted as his people. For it says in Revelation 2:9, I know them that say they are Jews, God's holy people, and are not. Do you know of any of them? Well, now, no, Pastor Buddy, I mean, you know, if you're a sinner, glory to God, you ain't God's people. But if you've been saved now, glory to God, if you've been saved, hallelujah, Shunda. If you've been saved and you go to church, glory to God, well then, you know, you're one of God's people. But you're not one of God's chosen people. You're a Gentile, but you're saved, and it's the holy people that don't confess him today that he's going to come back one of these days and he's going to open their eyes up. Well, all that has been preached around the denominational 501(c)(3) agenda churches, and it came out of the mouth, the lying mouth of Satan. Satan's the one that authored and brought this lie in to make people believe a lie to them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read 3:9, I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars, and I know where the seed of Satan is among the righteous. Well, talking about how the serpent got into the house of Israel. And I told you that he entered in Genesis 3:15. He entered in the womb of Rebekah. There was a good seed in Rebekah's womb, and there was a bad seed. There was a seed of Yahweh, and there was a seed of Cain, or Esau. And so then, these seeds are manifesting themselves in people today, and you'll know a tree by its fruit. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. It's impossible. If you see somebody bringing forth corrupt fruit, you know that's a corrupt tree. You say, oh, but they act so good in church. Yeah. You know, a hypocrite, one of the seven things that Yahweh hates is a brother that sows discord. That's somebody that comes in and sows the tares among the wheat, or plants false doctrine among a little bit of the truth, or a whole lot of truth, and just plants enough of false doctrine to corrupt the whole barrel. One rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel. And Satan can put one rotten apple in the church and destroy the whole church if he places that apple in the proper place. And you know where he places it? In the seed of the Pharisees. In the seat of the scribe. Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees, for they sit in Moses' seat. They won't go in the door themselves into eternal enlightenment of revelation truth. I'm telling you, truth has become stranger than fiction, and there is a famine in the land, not the bread of water. Man, everybody's getting bigger and living longer and enjoying this world. But the Bible says in that day they will be eating, drinking, and being merry. But there is a famine in the world, not for bread and water, but from hearing the word, the true living, unadulterated, the straight down the shaft, the sword that cuts into the joint and the marrow of the bone, which is a discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart, separating even down to the racial content of the very blood that flows in your veins. That is the revelation of the Holy Spirit of Yah. Few thy be to find it. So now away. And yet there are so many people. You say, well, why would Yah create so many people to miss heaven? If it's as sweet and as lovely and as good as most people teach and preach it is, why would Yah create all these people just for them to miss heaven? Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the oddity of the solving of that puzzle. Bible says itself, as straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and the few there be doth find it. Broad is the way, wide is the gate, and many there be that go on to their death and destruction. Now, Yahweh has said, choose this day who you will serve. So it's a matter of choices. We have been groomed, as I said, as a phonographic record. Our mind has become grooved into certain principles. We can't get out of this groove, and when the truth comes, we're so ingrained and grooved in tradition that we cannot move or alter or change because of hardship. Remember what the Bible said? Many turned back and would not follow him anymore when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What was he talking about? The flesh and blood he was talking about was not literal carnal flesh and blood, of course. But it was the blood of righteousness, the blood of truth. And it was the bread of the, like the manna that they were fed from heaven that they complained about. You see, you can feed a man, but you can't keep him from murmuring and complaining, especially Israel. Israel has always been a murmuring and complaining instead of taking their punishment or accepting their fate, because you see, we're all in this together. We're all going to have to inherit together, or we're going to have to lose it together, because we are a family unit, as it says, and the whole family in heaven and earth, and Yahweh is not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering toward us, that we would all come to repentance and to the acknowledgement of the truth. And so every sheep that is truly a sheep, we're all responsible for. We've got to stay here and get this thing right until we all get it right, because we can't inherit without them. They can't inherit without us. And so that's why Yah came for us, that we might inherit with him. And we thought it not robbery to be equal with him. So in the spirit realm, there's room for you to move up, or to move out, or move into the deep things better yet. But it's also a fearful thing. And you can claim your birthright principle. Remember, you say, well, the Bible says all Israel's going to be saved. That's true, but all Israel's not Israel. Yahweh knows them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Yah depart from iniquity. What's iniquity? Tradition. Paganism. Oh man, how we love paganism. We are prone to commit paganism in our paganistic ways. Oh, we love Christmas time. It's just pagan. It's just a pagan holiday. But it has good meaning, Pastor Buddy. Well, listen, folks, what do you think the tree of good and evil was? It had a good meaning. It meant good, but it wasn't good. Yahweh was not looking for anybody good. Now, let me repeat that so that the shock impact will shock you into realizing what I'm saying. Yahweh was not looking for people that are good. He's looking for people that are right. And so then, your goodness and all your works is as filthy rags in his presence, because there ain't enough good that you can do to get yourself into heaven on your good works, because you're not saved by works. You're saved by his grace and function and your ability to accept the truth when you hear it. And Yahweh created such a strange, peculiar, hard path that didn't seem right, as opposed to a path that is so natural and so easy to get into that does seem right. And there is a way that seemeth right, and there is a way that is right, and the difference between the two is not good. It's right. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. But then it's got to, here's the catch 22. And in truth, everybody wants to shout and hallelujah and shundai, shin in and roll and go with the flow, so to speak. I mean, I've run with the best of them. I've hung on the rafters. Man, I've got so drunk, I'm dancing in the spirit that I'd fall and lay on the floor for hours and hours and hours, not even know where I was at. You can actually work yourself up into a frenzy, and there's nothing wrong with that. the bodily exercise profits little. It's the truth that'll make you free. You can be set free in the spirit, but the Bible said try the spirits. Even Yahweh himself will send you a spirit to try you. It could be a right spirit, it could be a wrong spirit. You have to discern between the two. And believe you me, if you're his child, you'll get to share in the experiences of making the decision which right and which wrong. The way that seems right, I spent more years in the sin that way than I have in the way of truth. Well, was all that in vain? No, it was a teaching me. I mean, Paul, look how many years he went against the truth and a few years that he preached the truth. He was accepted as a great man when he preached against the truth. And he was rejected by the world, or the church world, the religious world. When he got in the truth, real truth, he was hated. He was despised, and he killed him. You see, that's the difference between birthright privileges. Those who are called, justified, and sanctified with a holy calling before the foundation of the world. You see, I'm Yah's child from the foundation. Before this earth was ever created, I was. And so are you if you're his child. You've been with him from the very beginning. You're in sheep of his pasture, and you're an eternal being, and you'll never die. Oh, I love that. But you hear so little of it preached and so little of it revelated, people that really tell some of the experiences that they can experience in the realm of life. And listen, you have to leave this world to get into the real world of life. Life is not here. This is a temporal place. This is a dressing up place. This is a preparation place. But when the instant of death comes, you don't die. There, you see, there's an inward man and an outward man. The outward man dies, flesh, back to the dust where he belongs, where he was cursed, where he was put to. You see, he transgressed, he couldn't enter back in. Satan defied the genetics of flesh and blood. So then, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the spirit man, who is a, let's describe him as a temporary rider or hitchhiker in the flesh body. I mean, you're just who told you to be who you are and where you're at and born at the year and a date, the second that you were born? Who was in charge of that? Did somebody really have a plan for you and your life? Well, of course, your steps are ordered and your days are numbered before he ever came here. He told Jeremiah, before I found you in your mother's belly, I knew you. Oh, my. Jeremiah was known by the Father? Well, of course he was. You say, well, I remember all them good things. If you did, you wouldn't want to stay here. You see, if you had any memory of where you were before you came here, then you'd short-circuit this life, and you would exit, and you would... Because the Bible said, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man. That's flesh man. But the spirit man, he's like a... Over here, he's like a fish out of water. In the spirit, he's like a fish in the water. It is more natural to be in the spirit, with the spirit man and the spirit, than it is to be in the flesh body with a flesh man in the third-dimensional world. I don't know about you, but I feel like a stranger and a pilgrim here. I just don't fit in here anywhere I go. I'm just an odd man out. I'm hated, despised, rejected, cast down, and forsaken by the world. I suffer persecution, and I ain't alone. I'm almost 70 years old. I was once young. But now I'm old. But I can truthfully say, as did the prophet, I have never seen a righteous forsaken or a seed of begging bread. Yahweh will give you the bread, not the bread that if you eat of today, you'll be hungry tomorrow, but the bread that if you eat of this bread, you'll never hunger. A bread that will take you into the fifth dimension of inner spirit, experience with the birthright. You must have the seal of a birthright son, and that's how that you have to escape the flesh man. because a flesh man came in and stole the birthright. Satan. When he defiled the pattern through our mother, Eve. And in the aspects of telegamy, which is a stained or a tainted womb. Eve had a tainted womb that everything that came through, that was a curse pronounced upon the first seed that fell out of her body, upon all seed that would endue and ensue from the womb, for it was once appointed there in Genesis 3:15, where we took our text tonight to establish the validity of the birthright versus the certificate of death. The flesh man who is alien to the Father cannot enter back in. He's been separated forever and cursed to go back to the earth from which he came. The spirit man, the inner man, the man that is going along for the ride, it had no part in the similitude of the sin that was created in the garden, and yet everything had to be turned out of heaven to be proved of its worthiness to find its way as a sheep in a pasture field. Remember, a sheep can't find their way in a field, let alone outside a field. So they must learn to follow the shepherd. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except as he sent? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. Yahweh has got his preacher scattered strategically now. Not many, but a few. For remember, the Bible said, straight his way, and as a gate, and a few that be defined. So Yahweh's got a few. Centered purposely where you will hear the voice of the truth. And the ring of truth will ring into the souls of those who have heard the truth from the foundation world, have known the scripture since they were a child. Remember, you don't have to be taught this. This is something instinctively, just like the tree that will grow a good fruit. It will gyrate toward the spirit realm, just like a fish when it's out of the water. And it just keeps flopping until it flops itself back into the water, and then at last it's free. Because, you see, we're not land creatures. Adam, the original Adam, was not of this earth earthly. He was a spirit being before he ever got encased into a flesh body. Now, granted, the flesh body that he was put into was to never age and to live forever in the third dimension. Well, what a glorious time that would have been, to have the experiences of the third dimension eternally. To see all the beauty, the handiwork, to have all the technology that is available for us to conquer the heavens and be fruitful and to multiply and fill not only the earth but the universe with beings that are created to honor the Creator, who is the creator of all things that exist, and nothing exists without Him. Everything lives within Him. Nothing lives outside His realm. He is the breath we breathe, and by Him, we have access to the kingdom. But Yah had to change the route. In Genesis 3:15, when He pronounced, now I'm going to read it to you, before I close, and I've got to get out of here. My time is just zippity, zip, 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 thumb by. And I haven't even got off the first two scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost impossible to close this message out. There is so much and so many avenues of exploratory revelation that we could go into that time will not permit. And I just wish that we had more time, but we don't. Here it is. And Yahweh said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The word beguile is 5377. That means to actually persuade her against her better judgment, to overcome her with the subtle crackiness of charming deception. See, Satan was a beautiful angel, but actually he was the most handsome angel among all the trees. Trees are angels walking in the garden, I remember. There was one tree in the garden that she was not told that she couldn't touch and she couldn't eat, if we use the word eat. That tree was the tree of life. but the other was a tree of death. It was the opposite tree. One good and one bad. Either make the tree good or the tree bad. She chose the bad tree to prototype. So everything that came through her womb became tainted with the stain of sin. And so it was an eternal curse for the flesh man as it evolved in the third dimension. But it trapped the spirit man within because Yahweh had done encased the spirit of Adam and Eve into flesh bodies. And there they were like kept in a prison. And the flesh body is nothing more than a service connected prison term. But in a sense, it learns us humility. It learns us humble. We have to learn to be humble. We have to learn to be self-sufficient with Him, not us. We have to be willing to give up everything here to get that. In order to have everything, we must get rid of everything. And that's a paradox of oddities. It seems like the nature of man, in a carnal sense, teaches you that the more you get, the more you're respected, and the more people look up to you, the more they admire you, and the better chance you have of being called a great person. Well, Lazarus didn't have anything but sores on his body. But when he died, he had a treasure laid up that he went to. Well, the rich man had everything, including the great kingdom that he built here on earth, but he had to die and leave him. He couldn't take nothing with him. He was considered a fool in the afterworld. And Lazarus was considered a wise man. On earth, Lazarus was considered a fool that nobody would fool with. Even the dogs had to have compassion. They had more compassion than the human people around him. So you see, a man's life is not based in the spirit realm. His life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he has. So a mark of a good man in the spirit is not how much he's got. It's how much he knows about the Father. And how much he's willing to suffer for what he knows in this present world. Because if you live godly in the Messiah, you will suffer persecution. You can rest assured that trouble will find you your door, and it will know your telephone number, and it will call you up every day, and it'll give you hell from the rising of the sun to going down the sink. But if you're willing to suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If you can't suffer, you won't reign. If you can't make the grave, if it's too hot for you in the kitchen, just better get out and bail out and join the world. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die. Then what would you give in exchange? So it's much better to reign with him and suffer here than to not suffer here and not reign with him over there. It's a choice. It's a simple choice. You hear the simple choice plan. Now, let me finish up this verse. And Yahweh said unto the serpent, listen and talk to the snake. This is the angel. Because you've done this, you are cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. And upon your belly shall go, and the dust shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed. Satan got a seed in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is all coming down. If you'd like to write me, you can simply write Pastor Buddy. That's Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live and direct. I'm sitting right here in the good old Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee, snug as a bug in a rug, and we're going around the world tonight through our flagship station, 100.3 FM. Out in the western states, praise God, we won't tell you where it's located. We'll just let you ask and we'll tell you. But anyway, we're flagshipping out of 100.3 FM, and we are uplinked to the satellite around the world wherever you have internet media player connection. So I've enjoyed being with you live and direct. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm here able to take your call. Simply dial area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, buddy1, lowercase letters now, buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. shepherdscall.net. Now, if you'd like our website, then just type in http://pastorbuddy.com, and you can have access to our website, and we've got a lot of information up there on some of the subjects that we've discussed tonight. The birthright, who did he belong to? How did the snake get into the house of Israel? He infused himself into a flesh body and infused his genetical blood, Satan, into our flesh bodies. Now, everything that didn't pertain to be Satan, even the good trees, had a taint of sin upon them. And we have to prove ourselves, whether we're a good tree or a bad tree. And this is the whole experience of third dimension on the airplane. Remember, flesh and blood, as good as it is or as bad as it is, doesn't matter. Because it ain't going to heaven. I mean, you could raise the dead and walk on water. Just like the Messiah did, but they killed him. He had to die too. So he come and tasted death once and for all. He tasted the bitter sting of death. It's sad to get old and have to face death and dying. But ladies and gentlemen, you better be aware of one thing. You don't have to be old and broken down and crippled and diseased to die. You could die tomorrow at an age unexpected. And that's what the Father said, I'll come for you and now you think not. So don't get too proud just because you're young and full of zip. You could die as a result of an accident or as a result of blasphemy. You better not touch one of Yahweh's little ones. You better not harm it. You better not say anything detrimental about any that Yahweh is God. Because if you do, you'll be suspect in judgment and it could come immediately. Remember, those who broke Yahweh's law died without mercy. And it's no different today. There's not going to be any mercy for those who disobey the gospel and fail to enter in and take heed, the Bible said, receive you with an unbelieving heart, fail to enter. Now, how do you enter in? You've got to realize that there is a dimensional door hidden from the world. It's not the two eyes. It's somewhere between the two eyes. And that's a hint to you to find the door and the pathway back home. And you'll look inside yourself, and you'll find the kingdom of heaven within you. And when you do, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, I got to get out of here. Praise Yahweh. And tonight has been my pleasure being in your homes. Wherever you have downloaded this on radio, we thank you for being with us. I'll see you tomorrow night live on 100.3 FM, Flagship, and on the uplink on the Big Bird, around the world on internet connection. This is Pastor Buddy saying, God bless. Or do you think we take your stand to be beside the